Bree, you're going to have your hands full today. Yeah. That's a bunch of kids. All right. We are actually wrapping up our series today, simply entitled Weathering the Perfect Storm. And we've talked about this a lot over the last few weeks. This idea that that's what 2020 has become. If you just look at all the things that's going on just in our nation, you know, not much less the world, but from the pandemic to the elections to protests to social unrest to all of these things that are happening, if just one of those things was happening, it'd be a kind of a chaotic year. But when all of these things are happening, it is the perfect storm. But life still goes on. We still have bills to pay. There's still people that are losing jobs and people we know that are getting sick and things like that. Just our daily, day-to-day stress. Life still goes on regardless of what's happening externally and all these other major events that's happening in this world in our lifetime. So we've been talking about weathering the storm and, you know, where are we now? Where do we go from here? How do we do that? So we're wrapping things up today. And as I was thinking about this Sunday, and this is something, you know, a month ago, Tim and I sat down and we're talking about just kind of what we were experiencing personally, what we were hearing from our Re3 community and understanding some of the things. We kind of just real quickly was able to brainstorm some things that we believe that the enemy is using during this perfect storm to turn our lives upside down. One of the last things we did as a church, as a community, as a fellowship event. As a matter of fact, it may have been the very last thing we did before COVID happened, was our annual Valentine's banquet, right? Our couples banquet. And you know, we have food catering, and we eat, and there's couples, and it's great. It's so much fun. It's decorations, and then we bring in entertainment. Well, if you remember all the way back to February, our entertainment this year was a magician. And I am a sucker for a good magician, right? I love magic. I love seeing the things they can do. And we had a guy, he was tremendous. And he did all these tricks. He did card tricks, sleight of hand, illusions. He did all of this kind of stuff. He was fabulous. And when it was all over, and he was packing up all his stuff, and everybody was kind of leaving, and we were kind of resetting the fellowship hall, I went up to him and started talking to him about his magic tricks and his illusions. And I just kind of made the comment. I was like, as you're doing these tricks, like, I'm trying to watch what you're distracting us with so I can kind of see how you're doing these tricks. And he said, well, he's like, that's a little misleading. He was like, distraction is kind of part of it, but it's not really distraction as much as it is misdirection. And I was like, what do you mean by that? And he started to explain it to me. And I think I could probably try to explain it, but it'd be a mess. So just watch this clip, and this will show you exactly what I'm talking about.
Kevin Teller have gotten into trouble with the magic community for giving away secrets. They're not going to tell us how this next trick works. But if you pay attention, you will learn a few important principles of magic. Take it away, Penn and Teller!
You're right, Allison. We do like to let people a little bit on the inside for the reason we do this show. There's a term of art used in magic, misdirection. And that word, especially recently, has been used more and more by lay people. People that aren't in the magic community use the word misdirection. If you read editorials or a pundit speaking, they'll say misdirection a lot. And the way lay people use it is wrong. Well, not wrong. You can't really use words wrong. They grow, they change. But less nuanced, the magicians use it. When lay people use the word misdirection, they often mean it as a synonym for distraction. Like, hey, look over there. I do something sneaky over here. And then when you come back, the magic's done. And the problem with that is that doesn't work. If you know you're distracted, look away. When you come back, you aren't fooled at all. But when magicians use the word misdirection, it's more complicated. It's more kind of a curating of attention, deciding the story that you want the audience to tell themselves. Now, this is a story of a vanishing chicken. Now, when I say it's a vanishing chicken and let you know the chicken's going to disappear, I'm already starting to misdirect you, already giving you the story. Now, we're going to do this in a really pure form, because in another magic show, this chicken would have some cute little name like Clucky McCluckface or something, but no, just a chicken. And the chicken coop would be dressed as like a rocket ship or a train or something, and there'd be some story. But no, we're not talking about that kind of story. This is just a chicken coop. But once you're thinking the chicken is going to disappear, I already know a lot about the story you're telling yourselves. When I cover it up like this, I kind of know what you're thinking, kind of where your thinking's going, what you're focusing on, what you're concentrating on. And I know that you've decided that at no time will you allow your attention to wander. Misdirection. This trick used misdirection. Let me just see how we're doing so far. Can I have the house lights up, please, guys? Put the house lights up. I just want to see a show of hands. How many of you saw the gorilla with the symbols? Should be all of you. It's a gorilla with symbols. Now, a subset of that, how many of you saw Teller come out, cop the chicken, and split? Okay. Now, let's talk about misdirection. How many of you saw sneak the gorilla into the cage? Okay, that's many fewer. That's misdirection.
So that's misdirection, right? I mean, that's kind of what happens to us in life. Things happen and we get distracted by things all the time. All you have to do is take a normal worship service. I mean, there's like unlimited chances for interruptions and distractions every single time we get together in a worship service. It could be a crying baby. It could be a bag being opened. It could be just turning to your neighbor and chatting. It could be getting up and going to the restroom. It could be anything. Like, there's things that's unlimited, all the things in just in a normal Sunday morning that we could get distracted by. And it's not that any of these things are bad. It's just life. It just happens. Things happen in life that distract us. I looked up the definition of distraction, and here's the Webster Dictionary definition. A pulling apart, separating, or drawing of the mind in different directions. Okay? You're focused on something, you're looking at something, a car backfires, a balloon pops, whatever it may be, and all of a sudden you look, right? Now, misdirection. The action of sending something to the wrong place or aiming something in the wrong direction. You see, distractions happen. Misdirection is intentional. The enemy, I want you guys to understand this, takes the distractions of life and he misdirects our attention to where what we're focused on in life is that thing that is now the distraction, not the thing that we should be focused on. Every force in hell is trying to distract you and misdirect you. Because the enemy knows if he can divide our minds, he can divide our hearts. And if he divides our hearts, he will discourage our soul. And if he discourages our soul, he will ultimately disengage our faith. Do you get that? It all starts with our mind. If our mind can get distracted and then misdirected onto something else, then that's the thing that our mind captures itself on. And then all of a sudden, our heart, which was once focused on the things of God and focused on his kingdom, all of a sudden now is split and divided to where part of us is still dabbling in the spiritual, but a lot of it is dabbling in the physical. And if that happens, the minute our heart starts to divide, our soul all of a sudden becomes disengaged. Because the Bible tells us things. Like, we can't have a split mind. We can't honor two masters. So where our mind is focused, at least half our heart will be, and then half our soul will be. And if that happens, what's going to feed our faith? Nothing. The enemy understands he doesn't have to destroy you. All he has to do is distract you. And if he can distract you and misdirect you, you take care of the destruction yourself. There's a story in the scriptures that's very popular and it involves Jesus and an interaction that he had with some friends. And if you have your Bibles, you can turn me to Luke chapter 10. And if you're here and you don't have your Bibles, it'll be up here on the screen. This is a story of Jesus' interaction with two ladies by the name of Mary and Martha. So Luke chapter 10, verse 38 says this. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was what? Distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. There's nothing wrong with the things that Martha was doing. Martha was just she is a task-oriented person. Like, I get this. Like, I am a Martha in life. That's just the way that I'm wired. Like, if I know someone's coming over, then there's things that have to be done. The table has to be just set right. The house has to be clean. Everything has to be neat. The food has to be ready. You know, all of these things are going on in my mind just because that's the way I'm wired. None of those things are bad. The things that Martha was focused on was not bad. It was all good stuff. But the scriptures say, but she was distracted. You pick up in verse 40. She came to him, she being Martha, she came to Jesus and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed, only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. He's saying, Martha, what are you doing? Like, I'm here. I'm hanging out with you. We have this chance to be together, and all the stuff that you're doing is good stuff. Everything that you're doing probably needs to be done. We need Marthas in our life. If it wasn't for the Marthas in our lives, I mean, just think about it. Bills wouldn't get paid, right? Food wouldn't be fixed. Presents wouldn't be wrapped, right? I mean, we have those Marthas. All those things are good. Jesus never said, Martha, what you're doing is bad. Martha, what you're doing is a sin. Martha, you need to repent. None of that. He just said, Martha, your sister doesn't need to do all of that stuff because she's focused on what's important while you're worried about all this other stuff that's going on in life. She's focused on the one thing. She's not focused on what's good to do. She's focused on what's better. What's best? See, often in life, our choices aren't really what's bad and what's good. Our choices in life really come down to what's good and what's best. What's good for me to do versus what's best for me to do. And the enemy knows this. The enemy gets a lot of us very distracted by some good things. This world that we're living in right now, there's a lot of people that are very passionate, a lot of Christians that are very passionate about COVID, wanting to help people, wanting to share with people, making sure that people are taking the necessary precautions. But when that becomes our focus, we're now distracted. We're doing something good. We care about people. We don't want to see people hurt. We don't want to see people sick. But is that the best? We get distracted by social unrest, things that are going on. We don't want people fighting. We don't want businesses being burned down. We don't want people treated differently because of the color of their skin. We care about all of these things. But what's good versus what's best? Man, election, right? I mean, you talk about COVID fatigue. We also have election fatigue, or at least I do. It's crazy. And we get so focused on making sure the right candidate in our mind gets elected, whether it's local government or national government, that becomes our focus. That's the thing that we're distracted by. That's the thing that we're misdirected by. And those things are good. We should care about who's in office because who's in office locally and nationally affects our day-to-day lives. All of that is good. But is it best? See, our choices are not between what's good and bad. Our choices are between what's good and what's best. Jesus said, Martha, what you're doing is good. But in this moment, at this time, it's not what's better. It's not what's best. Your sister is doing one thing, and she's doing what's better. So this morning, I want us to ask ourselves and try to figure out, all right, so how can I choose what's better? How can I choose what's best? Three things, if you're taking notes. Number one, we've got to learn to diminish our distractions. We have to learn to diminish our distractions. Distractions happen. I mean, some of them we have control over, some of them we don't have control over, but just because something catches your attention, just because a story or an event or something happens that your mind drifts to, that your heart drifts to, doesn't mean that that's where you're supposed to stay. Just because it's sparkly and bright and pretty or whatever it may be, doesn't mean that that's now the new direction of your life. We have to diminish those distractions. I was thinking about it this week, for me personally, and maybe this goes for you guys too. What do you think is, and this is a rhetorical question, you don't have to yell it out unless you really want to, what do you think is your number one distraction in life? For me, if I'm being really honest, it's my phone. Right? My phone is my distraction. My phone is that thing that's just there because it keeps you connected to everybody. And a lot of it is good. I'm connected to my wife. I'm connected to my kids. We can text. We can message. We can, you know, all of these things. I'm connected to you guys. I can get emails and texts when I'm needed or things are happening. I can pull up the news. I can look at all of this stuff. I mean, it's a lot of what it is good. But it can also be a distraction. So I started doing some research this week, you know, is it just me, you know, like tell me about this phone pandemic we have with phones, right? That's a pandemic also. And what I found out was this: the average person picks up their phone every 12 minutes. Every 12 minutes, five times an hour, the average person is picking up their phone and looking at it. And we wonder why we're not productive, or while we're struggling with relationships, or while we're not close to God. Now, not only that, not only does the average person pick up their phone every 12 minutes, they don't just pick it up and look at the time or see if they got a text and set it back down. The average person in America today spends 2 hours a day on social media. The average person spends 2 hours a day on social media, whatever your social media is of choice. Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Snapchat, it just goes down the line. 2 hours a day the average person spends. So I started crunching some numbers, and I want you guys to understand what 2 hours a day on social media is. 2 hours a day on social media, and this doesn't even count Netflix or texting or any of these things. This is just social media. The average person spends 2 hours a day on social media. That's 730 hours a year. Do you know that's 30 days a year? The average person today is spending 1 month out of their year on social media. Do you know what that equates to in your lifetime? If the average life expectancy right now in the U.S. is 78 and a half, do you know what that is in your lifetime? That's 6 years of your life is spent on social media. 6 years. Just 2 hours a day. And you're like, well, I've got 24 hours. I've only spent 2 hours a day, you know. And it could even broke up. Like, you're like, what if I spend 30 minutes in the morning and then, you know, 30 minutes at lunch and 30 minutes around dinner time and 30 minutes before I go to bed? That isn't too much, right? It doesn't sound like a lot. That's 2 hours a day. That's 30 days a year. That's 6 years of our lives that we'll never get back. So, yeah, phones are a distraction. And that doesn't even go into all the psychological distractions that it does. You know, we're always picking it up. You know, why wasn't I invited to that event? I see they're having a party. Why wasn't I invited? Or you put something up and I didn't get many likes on this. What does that happen? And then we get into all the, you know, fights. You know, should you wear a mask or not wear a mask? You know, should you be voting for this person or not this person? All of these things, right? Do you see where I'm going? The distraction is the phone. And Satan takes that phone and all of a sudden it becomes a misdirection. And now we're down this path of looking at all these other things that have now separated our mind, our heart, our soul, and our faith. We have got to diminish distractions. I would even go as far as to say we have to look at distractions and misdirection as a sin. Solomon talks about this when he's writing Proverbs. He's talking about what he calls an immoral woman, right? And he's writing to men and he's saying, look, you know, he goes into one of the Proverbs in Proverbs 5:8. He says, stay away from her. Do not go near the door of her house. Now he's talking to men. And he's saying, don't go to this woman. It's an immoral woman. You're going to go there. Things are going to happen. Your marriage is going to get ruined. Your life's going to get ruined. All of these things. And he's not saying, look, you can go to her porch. You can sit on the front porch. You can have a drink. That's it. He's saying, don't even go near her porch. Like, don't even go near her door. Like, don't even step on her property. Like, it's leading to a bad place. That's almost the way that I think we need to look at distractions. Like, don't even go there. Like, if I've got apps on my phone that are distracting me, I need to delete those apps. If there's things that I'm doing in my life that are, you know, whether it's Netflix or Xbox or whatever it is that's distracting us, we need to do things that cut those distractions out. Because not just minutes a day, but years of our life are being taken away by distractions that the enemy is using in misdirection. When we get to the end of our life and we stand before the Lord, I think he's going to want to say, all right, Mike, tell me about these 6 hours of your life that you spent on social media. What was the best post you ever read? What was the best recipe you ever saved? What was the cutest puppy you ever saw, right? I don't know. Like, I don't remember any of it. And that's 6 years of our life, 6 years of our life we could have spent with our kids or our loved ones or traveling or writing a book and doing something for the Lord. Satan can take a distraction and misdirect us. So what we need to do is we need to diminish our distractions. The second thing is this, we have to learn to focus on what's important. It doesn't do us any good if we diminish the distractions of our lives if we don't know what we're supposed to be focused on. And this is different for everybody. The thing in your life that you need to realize right now is what is the thing right now that I need to be most focused on? Is it yourself? It's okay. Is it soul care? Have you, like, you're so distracted by family and friends and the media and elections and COVID that you're not taking care of yourself? That's bad. So maybe the thing that you need to focus on is simply soul care. That we're there caring for ourselves the way that God wants to care for us. Maybe the thing you need to focus on is your marriage. Maybe right now, if you're really honest, you're like, man, my marriage is rocky. My marriage is strained. I need to focus on that. I need to start spending more time at home, or I need to spend more time with my spouse doing what they want to do. I need to quit trying to be the boss and run everything. We need to understand that this is a partnership, that we're in this together. We need to rekindle this love. Whatever it is, turn our relationship back to God. Maybe what needs to be focused on is your marriage. Maybe what needs to be focused on right now is your household. The world is chaos right now. Do you think our kids need to come home to a house that's in chaos? Do they need to come home to parents who are ranting and raving about, you know, who's tweeted what? What president's done this? Who's done this? All these types of things. You know, you won't believe what, you know, do we need to bring that chaos into our house? No. So maybe the thing we need to focus on is, you know what? I need to make sure that when we're in the four walls of my house, that my family, that we are there. That we're attentive, that we're present, that even if we're in separate rooms doing separate things, we are not bringing the chaos of this world into my house. Maybe the thing you need to be focused on is your faith. That you're like, you know what? I got to be really honest. In the last 6 months, I've cared a lot more about who's wearing a mask and who's not wearing a mask than who's going to hell and who's not. Maybe you need to be honest about your faith. And you know what? Over the last 6 months or year or 2 years, I've been more concerned about who sits in the White House versus who sits on the throne of the kingdom of God. There are things that are distracting us. These things are good, but when they get misdirected, it's bad. We have to diminish our distractions. We have to focus on what's important. And we've got to stop. And the third thing is this. Cut out the noise of life so we can hear the voice of God. We have to cut out the noise of life so we can hear the voice of God. In the book of Isaiah, Isaiah says this, "And your ears shall hear a word behind you." This is Isaiah talking about the Spirit of God, saying, "This is the way, walk in it. When you turn to the right or when you turn to the left." So many times in life, we go through life, we're like, well, I don't know what God wants me to do. The reason we don't know what God wants us to do is because we're not in tune to his voice. We're not listening to him. It's not because he's being silent. It's not because he's forgot about us. It's because we can't hear him through the noise that is going on. We can't hear it. We have got to focus on the voice of God. We've got to focus on him, what he's saying to us. You think about the Psalms, Psalm 23, you know, he talks about, I am your shepherd. I'm going to lead you through green pasture. I'm going to lead you through this shadow of death. Right now, 2020 literally is a shadow of death. But God promises, I'm not going to lead you and just leave you there. I'm going to lead you through it. Well, the only way he can lead us through it is if we are listening. Peter did not begin to sink when he stepped off the boat. He began to sink when what? He got distracted. And those distractions turned into misdirection. He stopped focusing on God. He stopped focusing on that thing in his life that was so important to him. And all of a sudden, here's some wind, here's some waves. And all of a sudden, his attention got misdirected and he began to sink. And I think if we're really honest this morning, there's a lot of us in this room and there's a lot of us watching online that are sinking. And we're not sinking because of COVID. We're not sinking because of who's president. We're not sinking because of social unrest. We're sinking because we've taken our eyes off the one that we should have our eyes on. Amen? That's what we're focused on. We're focused on all this other noise. We're focused on all this other stuff. And it doesn't even have to be bad stuff. It can be good stuff. But if that's the things that we're focused on, how can we be focused on God? Guys, we have to diminish God. We have to diminish our distractions. We have to focus on what's important. And we have got to clear out the noise in our lives so we can begin to hear the voice of God again. I'm going to leave you with this, with one of my favorite speakers of all time, one of my favorite books of all time. My favorite speaker is Francis Chan. And if you've never had a chance to read his book, Crazy Love, it's absolutely remarkable. But he has this quote that he says in the book, and I want you guys to catch this. Our greatest fear should not be a fear of failure, but of succeeding at things in life that don't really matter. I want you guys to hear that again. Our greatest fear should not be of failure, but of succeeding at things in life that don't really matter. Guys, we're worried right now about succeeding with our distractions. The things that have distracted us, whether it's school systems or local government or our president or elections or COVID or mask or social unrest or any of these other things that are happening, all those things are important. I'm not saying they're not. All of those things are good to be involved in. But when that becomes the place that your focus is driven toward, then you have been misdirected. You have allowed a distraction, even if it's a good distraction, to become your focus. We as a church, we as a Christian community, we as the body of Christ have got to get rid of the distractions, diminish the distractions in our lives, focus on what's important, and listen to the voice of God more than any other noise or voice that we hear in our lives. Amen? Can you imagine how much different our lives would be starting today if that happened? If we went home today and got rid of the distractions in your life. Like I said, mine's my phone. You just can't chunk your phone. But I've gone on. You can delete Facebook. Delete these things that take up your time, right? I don't know what it is that distracts you. And it may be good. But is it best? Is it better? I don't know what you're focused on. What you're focused on may be good, but is it what is most important? What Martha was focused on was good, but it wasn't what was most important in that moment. Is your soul care most important? Is your marriage most important? Is your relationship with your kids most important? Think about it. That should be the focus. Where is God in those things in my immediate surrounding, household, and life? And then we'll work our way out. And then the last thing, what am I listening to? What's directing my life? Is it the noise of the media? Is it the noise of that negative friend that I talk to every day? Is it the noise of whatever, you know? Is that who I'm paying the most attention to, that I'm forgetting that God is God and I'm not? That I'm focused so much and I'm listening so much to these other noises in our life that I don't hear the voice of God anymore? And can you imagine what our lives would be like starting today if we diminished our distractions, we focused on what was important, and we got back to hearing the word of God? Hey, can you imagine what your life would be like? I think we'd wake up tomorrow morning and feel like 10,000 pounds were off our shoulders. Because we're not here to solve the world's problems. We're here to show them Jesus. And that's it. And we're here to make sure that we're connected to Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, this morning we just ask that any distraction that happens, and they're going to happen. We're going to walk out of these doors and get in our cars. We're going to get up off our couch and cut off the TV, and all of a sudden things are going to happen that are going to distract our mind. My prayer, God, is that we recognize that. That the Holy Spirit, man, is so powerful in our life. That when we see these distractions, when we hear these distractions, that they do not steal our focus. We can see them, we can recognize them, but our focus stays on you. Lord, my prayer this morning is that we begin right now, right here in this second, diminishing the distractions of our lives. Lord, if we can be really honest, and we can honestly say, God, you know what? My relationship with you, or my relationship with my wife or my kids, or even taking care of myself has not been a focus, then God, bring that back this morning. Make it such a powerful motivation and such a powerful goal for our spirit to be in tune with yours that we don't want to do anything else. That we want to focus on what's important, what you would have us to focus on, that one thing. And God, if there's anyone here that hasn't heard your voice in a long time, it's not because you're not speaking. It's because we've allowed the noise of this world to overtake your voice. And I pray, God, you give us ears to hear, that you start to remove the noise and the clutter from our lives so that we can hear your voice as you nudge us, as you guide us, as you correct us. Like a lamb to a shepherd, let us hear you and follow you. Lord, we pray all these things in your name. Amen.